Greetings and welcome to everyone for this recorded service of worship. And it is recorded for the Lord's Day on April the 19th. The Lord calls us to worship from Psalm 136, it's verses 1 to 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Shall we now sing to the Lord's praises? It's a version of Psalm 42, as the fainting deer cries out. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we may worship you. We thank you, our Father, that you've put it into our hearts to worship you. Thank you, O Lord, that you have claimed us for your own. O Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we come, O Lord, in these unusual circumstances, but nevertheless we come to worship you, to sing your praises, to pray to you, to hear and to consider from your word. And we commit all of these things to you, Lord. Our Father, we also say and confess before you that we have sinned against you. Lord, we don't try to hide anything from you. We don't try to dissemble from you. But we freely admit and confess that we have sinned against you. And so, Lord, we do pray that you will forgive our sins. And Lord, knowing that there is forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ, but that there is only forgiveness in him, that there is only cleansing through his blood shed upon the cross. Lord, we thank you for that blood of Christ, so freely given, so poured out for us. And we pray, Lord, that it will wash us clean, that we may be made clean by the sacrifice, by the sin-bearing of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Thank you, O Lord, for the freedoms that we have in this land, the freedoms to meet together and to worship in normal circumstances. We pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world who do not have this opportunity ever to meet together, not because of coronavirus restrictions, but because of authorities who prohibit them from meeting together. We thank you too, O Lord, that we have our scriptures, and we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to understand your word. In helping us to understand your word, we pray that we may put your word into practice. And all of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to the children now, and the children, I hope you are listening. I want to talk to you about our words being like fire. The Bible tells us that our words and our speech is like a fire. So he's a picture of some fire. Now that's a very fierce fire burning away, isn't it? But our words are really very small, and they start out very small, and even just a small thing, a small spark or a small word, or a small little fire like a lighted match that we could light perhaps, will start a fire going. Now fire can be very good. We can use that match to light a candle with, and the candle will give light to us, just like these candles in the pictures here. And the candles also will give us warmth sometimes if it's very, very cold. So that's a good use of fire. We can also think of when we're cooking. Here's a barbecue being cooked. That's again a very good use of fire. But there are destructive things that fire does as well, like it burns whole forests down, like all these leaves and these twigs burning in this picture here. So our words can be like fire. Just a very small word can catch a whole lot of things alight. But our words can be very good fire, like the candles that light and give some heat, or like the barbecue that we use for cooking with, or our words can be bad and cause a lot of destruction, like that forest fire that we thought about and looked at. So let's be careful how we speak. Let's be careful how we use words. Let's be careful how we speak to each other. And let's be careful too how we speak to God. For our words are very powerful. And our words have great influence. And even little words and little speech can start off a huge thing. May the Lord bless this word to us. Amen. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise. We'll sing this song, Stuart Townend song, Beloved and Blessed. Let's sing. Let's now join together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may come to you with all of our prayers. Thank you, O Lord, that you always hear us. In you we live and move and have our being, and we thank you too, Lord, that we may come to you at any time. We pray, Lord, that you will hear our prayers. Thank you for your promise that where even two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are there in the midst, and as we gather together, as it were, in this virtual way, this online way, or perhaps in our families, or gathered together, perhaps thinking of our friends and our loved ones. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with us in this. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all that you've given to us. We give you thanks, our Lord, that you are a great and a mighty God, that you made heaven and earth, that the earth is your footstool, that the heavens are your throne, and no house or no building could ever contain you. And indeed, O Lord, no universe could ever contain you. We know, Lord, how big this universe is, but compared with your greatness and your infinite power and majesty, it is so tiny. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you again for Christ who died upon the cross. Thank you, O Lord, that you have brought that salvation to us by your Holy Spirit, and that through him we may know you, and that we may be saved, that we may be washed clean, and that we may know eternal life. Thank you, O Lord, for the resurrection of Christ, that he has risen again from the dead, and that in his life we have our life. We thank you, O Lord, again for our freedoms, and again commend to you our brothers and sisters in many parts of the world who do not know those freedoms, who are compelled to meet in secret if they dare meet at all, who are compelled to hide their Bibles, and who are compelled not to be able to speak openly about you in the public square. We commit these to you, Lord, and pray that you'll encourage them. Those who are suffering arrest, we pray, Lord, that you will draw near to them, perhaps in their prison or perhaps in their house of arrest. And we pray that you will comfort and encourage them. Our Father, we pray for ourselves, for your help in this coronavirus attack. We pray, Lord, that you will keep us safe. We pray for the other nations too, Lord, that you will keep the nations safe, that the attack of the coronavirus, this outbreak, may be quelled in all the nations of the world. We pray for our National Health Service at this time. We thank you, Lord, for the NHS. We thank you that there is great dedication and a great sense of service amongst NHS workers. We pray you keep them safe, O Lord, and pray that they may have the strength and all the equipment and the things that they need to do this work of caring for many people. We pray about other problems that may be caused by our own isolation, these feelings of isolation, or these feelings of loneliness, or these feelings of just not being able to go out and about and meet face to face with people. And we pray, Lord, that those we may overcome those feelings, and that they will not be very substantially great for us. We pray for those who are facing financial difficulties at this time too, whether they have not been able to get work if they're self-employed, or perhaps have been furloughed from work if they are employed. We pray, Lord, that you will help them with their finances. We pray, Lord, that in the uncertain situation that they may face, we pray that you'll grant to them an encouragement, and you'll provide for them too, Lord, we ask. For the work of missions, we pray for the church at Mangalia and the mission church at Lamanu. We lift them to you, Lord. We pray for them as they are unable to meet at this present time too. And we pray that they will receive spiritual ministry and spiritual help. We commit Pastor Gilberto to you, Lord. Pray that you'll encourage him and others who work there in the congregations. We pray, Lord, that you'll encourage them in the work of ministry that they may do. We do pray for our church plants, Father. These EPCW church plants up and down the country, and we pray that they may be established as ongoing churches, that you will grant to them an increase in numbers, Lord, that you will give stamina, that you'll give encouragement and help to the ones who are church planting and gifts of ministry that they need for this. But also for the small congregations, Lord, we pray for them, that you will help them in they, as they build a gospel-believing church. Thank you, O Lord, for the safekeeping of our missionaries, for those who have returned from dangerous situations recently. We commit them to you, Lord, and give you thanks for them. For the missionaries who may feel that through the coronavirus pandemic that their work has been somewhat curtailed. And yet we pray for them, Lord, that you will grant to them help to know how to reach many and provide opportunities too, Lord, perhaps that they had not thought of in this this isolating type situation. We pray for the government, Father, and for its scientific advisors, and that they will have great wisdom in dealing with the situation that is abroad in the land. And again, we do commend ourselves to you, Lord, praying that you'll watch over us, that you will keep us, and that you will draw us again next Lord's Day to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading now is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's the next in our series in Deuteronomy. I'll read this for us, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 15. If you've got a Bible handy, it would be great if you could turn up the passage, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give to you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you off from off the face of the earth. May the Lord bless his word to us. These are very well-known quotations, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It is what is sometimes called the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Shema is just simply the Hebrew word that means hear, a command to hear. Hear, O Israel. And it is a sort of a creed. And for the Israelite people in the Old Testament times, it was a creed, a very basic thing. And for Jewish people today, it is a creed for them too. And they will recite this very often and make much of it. And if you look in a printed Hebrew Bible, it will be there in capital letters, underlined, as it were, just this one verse. So hear, O Israel. And then the next verse, to love your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your might. And of course, these verses are quoted by the Lord himself. When he was questioned as to what was the greatest commandment, he quoted directly here from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then, of course, he added from Leviticus 19 that you shall love your neighbour as yourself as well. So hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's more than a theological statement. It certainly is a theological statement telling us that there is but one God, and that God himself is one, that he's not divided, as it were, in any particular way, but there is just one God. But it's more than this theological statement. It is telling us that God is the source of their life, that this there is just one God, but there is God. And this God is all-powerful and the very source of their life and the very source of everything that they have and everything that they have and everything that they are flows from this one God. He is also the centre of their life. He is the one from whom everything comes. There is just one God. And he is everything, he is all. It's good for us to hear that as well. Not just hear, O Israel, but hear, O Christian. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one God. And our response thereto is to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart and mind and might. With all our heart, with all our soul and might, with all our heart. Our heart is the depths of us. It's where everything springs from, our motives, our driving forces, our understanding. It's a little bit like we would think of as our mind. From the very depths of us, which we can't always see down into our heart, but the very depths of us, everything springs from this, and we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We're to love him with all of our soul as well. This means our affections, our personality, the things that make us different from other people, our everything about us that is presents externally, as it were, our soul. And with all our might, with all our striving and effort to do this, to love the Lord our God. Think as an illustration of a weightlifter. He's a man who is in serious training. He's a man who is going to bend all of his efforts to lifting that weight which he's never been able to lift before. All of his training goes into it. All of the focus of his mind goes into it. All of his personality says, I'm going to do it. And all of his might, when he comes to grasp hold of the bars and to try to lift the weight, all of his might goes into it. So we're to love the Lord our God like that. We're to focus our minds on loving the Lord our God. Everything that we think of, everything that is in our hearts, All our personality, all that's external to us, that people see as they see us, our souls. Everything is to go into loving the Lord our God, and all our might, all our strain and effort and might, into loving the Lord our God. He puts his heart and his soul into his task, does this weightlifter, as well as his bodily might. So here are the two heading verses for the rest of this chapter. We'll only consider up to verse 15, but probably also you could consider them so for the rest of the book of Deuteronomy. And the command to know God, to recognize him as all, and the command to love God, it comes with some directions for loving God. It comes after this. So up to verse 15, we'll just look at those today. We are to love his word. That's verses 6 to 9. We are to remember his work. That is verses 10 to 12. And we are to fear God. And these are directions that will help us in this task of loving the Lord our God with everything that's in us and everything that's about us. love his word, verses 6 to 9. And of course, the words are the words of Scripture. They are to be on our heart, so they're to be very, very deep inside of us. They're to be in that place that everything springs from, so it will be affected and it will be there with the word of God. It'll be in our heart. We should teach them to our children. And not only in our church activities, say our Sunday school, for example, or our other church activities. We need to teach to our children in our family lives, in our homes. Teach this word of God to your children. Teach your children to love the word of God. Teach your children to do the word of God too. We should talk about the word of God. It should be a matter of conversation for us as we go about our everyday business, as we stop for lunch, as we get home from work maybe, as we talk to our spouse, as we talk to our children, as we talk to people that we meet in the wayside, to our nearest and our dearest, and to all who we meet, all who walk as we walk by the way. We should express the word of God. Consider it. Think about, well, what does it say about this situation? How shall we apply the word of God to this? Doesn't that word of God, doesn't it really resonate with your soul? Isn't it wonderful? Speak about the word of God with all that we come into contact with, but especially with those in our own households. We have to bind the word of God around us. You're not to be able to get away from the word of God. You're to bind it around your forehead so that it's always there and you can't really get away from it. You're to fasten it to your doorposts so that when you come in and when you go out, you can see it and think, ah, yes, that is the word of God. It's symbolic that all coming in and going out, everything that comes and goes in and out of our houses, has to do with the word of God, and not just with our houses, but with our whole selves. We are to fasten the word of God to the doorposts of our own self, as it were, so that nothing can come in, nothing can go out without at least recognizing that there is the word of God there. Modern day Jewish people will take this very literally. Perhaps you've seen a little container on the doorpost of a Jewish family's house, and it always has to be on a slant, and it contains a little scroll. The actual little box is called a mezuzah. It just means a doorpost, and there's inside of it there's a little scroll, and on this little scroll, guess what's written? It's these verses from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. And so we too, in all of our comings and goings, are to recognize the word of God, that God is one, that he is sovereign, he is supreme, there is but one God. And all the other gods of the nations, they don't really exist. They don't exist. And all our life streams from this one God. And so our lives are to be permeated with the word of God. It's to be suffused through us like a dye that we cannot separate from ourselves. And for us in this, to help us to do this, we should read the word of God. It's really basic, isn't it? If we're to love the word of God, we are to read it. Read it as much as you can. Read the Bible as often as is possible. I know that you won't be able to sit on your easy chair 24 hours a day with the Bible on your knee, but whenever you can, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures intelligently. Read the scriptures and get to know what's in the scriptures. Read the Bible. Know of God's words throughout history, throughout the history from the creation of the world up to the time of the apostles. Know your Bibles. Practically, perhaps in families, read the Word of God together as a family. Just perhaps a very short passage, just a few verses. As you sit around the dinner table, maybe you've finished your meal, reach for the Bible out of the bookcase near to you, pull it open to you, open it up to where you were last time. Just read a few verses, maybe say a prayer as well. Maybe just have a little think about what the verses mean. But do this as a family. It is a wonderful way that we may teach our children that the scriptures are important. And it is also a very great way in which we honour this scripture of loving the word of God. So helping us to love God with all our heart and soul and strength is loving the word itself, loving the word of God. We also remember God's work. This is verses 10 to 12. God is so generous. He gives us so much. Here is listed the things that they will find when they get into the promised land. They will find these cities, these houses, these fields, all there for them that they have not had to do or plant or make. The Lord is being so generous to his people in this. And the Lord is so generous to us too. He gives us everything that we need for our lives, physically as well as spiritually. In spiritual terms too, perhaps in a coming to a knowledge of God, perhaps in our own conversion, or perhaps in that deepening sense of God and the love of God and that deepening sense of our need for God and a new turning, a deeper turning to God. That is a little bit too like us coming into the land. We find there all sorts of wonderful things that the Lord has given to us. Just as they came into the lands and they could point out, oh, look at that field. Oh, look at those trees, aren't they? Those fruit trees, aren't they beautiful? And what a nice town this is that we live in. So we can point out as we come into the land, as it were, as we come into the knowledge of God, as we become Christians or turn to the Lord in a deeper way. So we can point out, oh, the assurance and the hope that I have. Oh, the peace that I know now where there was such fret before. Oh, the joy that I know now. Oh, this sense of purpose. How I've been delivered from a meaningless sense, meaningless life. How now I know Christ. How now I know God. But just as the people, as they got into the land and they were so taken and so absorbed by all the great things in the land, and just as we are when we become Christians or we have that deepened sense of Christ, so over time, these things can begin to fade. Not the reality of it, the reality is still there. They're still in the land. We're still Christians. Our sense of awe, wonder, our sense of joy can begin to fade. And the scripture here is telling us, think of the Lord's work. Remember. Bring these things to mind. Bring to mind also who God is, and so often think about him. Reflect that whatever spiritual good you have has come from God. This call to remember, so that we don't lose that sense of love of God, so that we don't cool off in our love of God. This call to remember is there in all the scriptures. It's there in the New Testament as well. We could read about it in Ephesians chapter 2. Here's Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Therefore, remember. Remember what it was like to have no hope and to have no God, to not have God in the world. And remember how the Lord delivered you from that. And let this stir up our thoughts of love and our feelings of love towards God. Remember and give thanks. So make much of the word. Remember the Lord's work, and then fear God, verses 13 to 15. Now, the commandments to fear God and to love God are they're not self-contradictory. They're not mutually exclusive. This commandment to fear God really comes as a command to serve God. He's the one there in chapter 6, verse 4, who is all, who fills heaven and earth and more besides, who is the sovereign, all-powerful Lord God. Focus on him. The focus not only is upon God in the Old Testament, but upon Christ in the New Testament as well. And we have something that is like a little bit like the Shema in our New Testament. Of course, we have the Shema in the Old Testament as well. We know that that is directed to us too. But in our New Testament, this is Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. And the writer begins off, long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers, the prophets. And he almost could have said, listen, hear this, O Christian. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is a verse which is calling to our attention the nature of Christ, calls us to recognize Christ as God. And in some ways, in many ways, it will function as a sort of a Shema, a hear. Listen, O people of God, this is what God is like. Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature, and he is to be worshipped. So let's fear God. Let's stand in awe of him. Let us be afraid of the consequences if we depart from him. And in Deuteronomy, in Old Testament terms, these consequences are spelled out, that God would banish, exile his people from the land. But let us be aware, let us fear God, lest we depart from him. And the consequences of that, everything that follows, will come upon us. Let us be afraid of deserting Christ. But let us also stand in awe of Christ himself. For he is our God, the Son of God, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 onwards, know that the Lord is Almighty. There is but one God. Know that he is above all, that he is the sovereign God. Hear, O people of God, the Lord our God is one Lord God. Know to the love of God, God's love for us, but also our love for God. Take this to heart, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. We should love his word. That will help us to do that. We should remember him and everything that he's done for us, everything that he's done in history for his people. That will help us to love him too. And we should fear God. We should serve him. We should be in awe of him. We should love him closely, but love him as obedient children, as subjects of his, over whom he has all power. Let us beware that we should not desert him. And may the Lord help us as we consider these things. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may consider your word. Thank you, O Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us as the one Lord God. And thank you too, O Lord, that you have revealed to us that you would have us to love you, and have given us these things that we might love you by, to love you by your word. O Lord, build in us a deep love of your word, we ask. Lord, help us to remember, to consciously think and remember of all the good things that you've done for us. And what would life be like without you, Lord? Help us to consider that too. And help us then, Lord, to serve you and always to be yours. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn and our closing hymn is I Sing the Almighty Power of God. receive the blessing of the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The Lord be with you all. The Lord bless you and keep you. Goodbye.